After he gets done talking about the loudmouth, he invites me up.
Hey, but I appreciate it.
You can exhort.
Yeah, man.
All men suffering.
That's right. It's been good to be in the house of God today. I can't imagine being anywhere else.
That's right.
It's our life. I love it. I enjoy it. I don't get up in the morning on Sundays and go, I guess I gotta go to church. I gotta get dressed and go to church. We don't do that. Okay, my kids once in a while, they don't feel like getting up. But you know what? For the most part, they get up and they know they're going. They don't have a choice. Not living in my house. You know what? God's gonna have to touch their heart and change it. You know, I'm not saying my kids are rebels like that or whatever, but God has brought their parents to repentance and salvation.
Amen.
God has changed their parents' life. My son at one point was afraid of me. I don't know if he even remembers those times where I'd walk by him and he'd flinch and stuff like that because he was afraid of me. Well, as you can see, he's not afraid of me anymore.
Amen.
And,
praise God.
So the Lord has given him a new dad and given him a new mom, and I thank God for that happening because it was a horrible thing. You know that you have an anger problem when you're afraid of your own anger. And I was afraid of my anger. That's my wife. I would cry at night saying, I'm so afraid I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm so afraid that I'm going to hurt somebody. And I'd have tears in my eyes and I didn't want to live because I was just so afraid that I could never control myself. And it's funny. After I got saved, the night I got saved, I slept on the best pillow I ever had, and I was a clean conscience. I never knew what that was. Okay, I didn't need pills or alcohol to make me go to sleep. I slept with a clean conscience. And so I remember the next day getting up, I don't know, something aggravated me. I don't know the whole extent. I don't have the brain that I used to have to be able to remember things like I used to. But something got on me, and so they had me on all these medicines to help control my anger. For the first time in decades, I realized that I was getting angry and I could control it. It didn't have to get as bad as it used to get. And I realized, my goodness, once I started realizing that I was getting angry, I could start controlling it. But then I didn't need medicines to do that for me. Now, I didn't perfect that. I didn't become somebody who wasn't angry and stuff like that. Now, there were some pretty bad slip-ups, okay? But those slip-ups bothered me.
Yeah.
They crushed me. They brought me to my knees. They brought me to a place. After salvation, I still needed repentance.
Yeah, you bet.
There was things I still needed to turn from. There was things that God was teaching me that I still had to get on my knees and say, Lord, I'm so sorry for doing that. Would you help me to change this? Would you help me to get this right?
That's right.
Okay? Yeah, to change my mind and show me these things. And so, today I want to do a little bit of teaching. You know, it's funny. I was going to teach something, then I get up, then I start preaching. Well, that's what happens when the Holy Ghost gets in things. You start teaching, the next thing you know, you're preaching.
Right.
And that's just how it goes. That's what the Bible does to a person.
Amen.
Anybody excited over the Bible?
Amen.
Well, we can't say you're not excited over what God has given us and put before us. He put a Bible in front of us that helps change our life. Hey, when our children are born, they're not born with instruction manuals, but when you're born again, God gives you an instruction manual. It's called a King James Bible. Okay? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? And he was so merciful unto us that he said, Dale, I know you don't know how to run your life. I know how to run it, and I'm going to give you the instruction manual on how to do it. And that's what he done. Okay? Now you go get one of those NIVs and ESVs and all that. That's the wrong instruction manual. It's not going to help you run your life.
No.
I can guarantee you it's not going to help you run your life because those were the first Bibles that were given to me. And it never did what a King James Bible did to me.
All right.
It never unraveled that conscience. It never awoke me up to those things where it says that the King James Bible talks about people losing that natural affection. Well, the King James Bible started giving me that natural affection again because I had no clue what natural affection was. It was stolen from me as a child. I will say this until the day I die. God, my God, was so merciful unto me that he sent that woman sitting there to show me what human love is.
Yeah.
I had zero clue what human love was really about until she got into my life. And I said, man, that's what love is? That's what love is. Love was her. She was showing me that there's somebody out there who sees beyond. There's somebody out there who the whole entire world told her, you're never going to make it with that guy. It's just not going to happen. She said, I see beyond that. And that's why she wouldn't leave me.
Amen.
I would have left me a long time ago. She didn't. She's a very strong woman. I thank God for her.
Amen.
I thank God she got saved after I did. Not because I got saved. She got saved. She got saved because she needed to get saved.
Amen.
Not because her husband got saved. And I told her, don't you ever come up to me with that stuff. I don't even want to hear it. You get saved because you see the way God needs you to see things and what he has you to come to, not what I want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do that to my wife. And so, if you would, bear with me here for a few minutes. I just want to show a few things on being a King James believer with an NIV life, because it's so prevalent out there, and a lot of people don't understand it. So I study my Bible, and let me say this. Books aren't bad. Commentaries, if you like them, fine. Dictionaries and all that, I just prefer not to use them, okay? I don't believe that I need that when I have a King James Bible. So therefore, I try to stay away from all that because I want God to influence me. I want God and his teachings to influence me. I don't want man to put that in there. Now, it's not saying that I won't pick up a book and read something by somebody after I already have the groundwork laid for my King James Bible. Okay? That's just how I study my Bible. That's how I do it. And I mean, I put work into it. I don't sit down just for, 10 or 15 minutes and that's it. No, I mean, I put hours and hours and hours and hours into studying my Bible because the Bible says here, in a couple places, but it says here in John 14, 23 through 26, that the Holy Ghost will teach us and instruct us in some things. It says all things. Those men who wrote those books, how did they get it? They sat down and studied, and the Holy Ghost taught them. Why can't he do the same for me?
Right.
Why can't the Holy Ghost teach me something? Oh, he can. Okay, so we're saying, then it goes on here, and you don't have to turn there, but in Job 36:22 it says, behold, God exalteth his power. How? Who teacheth like him? Who teaches like God?
Yeah.
Nobody does. That's what Job just said.
Yeah, right.
Job 36:22 said, who teaches like him? Nobody does. Not me, not your pastor, not anybody else. Who teaches like God? Nobody. God, man, he's the one who's going to teach you. And so when I get into this here, I'm going to hit on a few things. There's a lot to this. So I'm just going to hit on some things here and there. But you'll get the gist of what I'm saying, because a lot of people speak and they'll tell people and they'll witness to them, I'm a King James believer. I believe this is the true word of God. I believe this is it, man. I mean, I wouldn't change a word in this thing or nothing else, and yet they do it all day long. All day long, they're changing it. Me and brother were just outside talking about them out there changing the words.
That's
right. Slavery and servant, they changed the words and all that kind of. Man, that's what the devil did in Genesis 3, chapter 1. He got him to doubt the word of God.
Yeah,
once he got him to doubt the word of God, that was it. He was all his.
Mm-hmm.
Turn with me to Exodus 25. I just want to show you a few things here. And this is pertaining to the tabernacle. Let me just give you a little background of the tabernacle. I took the tabernacle and I tore it apart and I built it all by hand. I hand drew every bit of it, every single, the measurements, every bit of it, 100% is sitting at my home. Every piece by piece, I built it by hand, sitting at my table with the Holy Ghost of God teaching me this thing. Then I took the first five chapters of Leviticus, the five Levitical sacrifices, and I tore them apart and I ate it up. And it taught me salvation. It taught me about Jesus Christ, salvation, and the law, and so on and so forth. And as I was going through there, God was teaching me things.
Mm-hmm.
While I was sitting at my table, he was showing me things. And I was listening to good, godly men who I love dearly with all my heart. And I'm listening to them, but I'm hearing them preach a different doctrine than what that Bible's teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
And it started shaking me up. I said, hold on, what's going on here? These are good men. I love these men, man. I mean, these are the guys that who I look up to. These are my heroes in the faith and so on and so forth. And I'm listening to them, and they're tearing it up, and they're shaking it up, and I'm going, hey, there's something wrong. Let me get into this Bible and start studying this. And so I started getting into Exodus 25, And I started going through there. So Exodus 25 through Exodus 40 gives you the tabernacle, how it's built, what God asked for, so on and so forth. And so I want to read Exodus 25, verses 1 and 2. And I want to notice a few things here. And it says, and the Lord spake. Right off the bat, we know the Lord's speaking here. This is not man. This is not anybody else. The Lord is speaking here directly to Moses. And he says here in verse 2, he says, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring meat. Okay? Notice that. He says meat. He didn't say bring anybody else. He said, you bring me these things. Okay? He's about to ask for some things, and it's God specifically talking here. And he says, bring me an offering of every man that giveth willingly with his heart. That you take whose offering? My offering. We see here in just those two verses that God is asking for some things. That God is requiring the children of Israel through Moses to bring him some things. Here is where people start putting in their NIV doctrines. Mm-hmm. Here is where they get everything started to getting twisted up. Here's where they're taking those things and they're messing it up. And I'm telling you, it's messing their churches up. And I'm telling you right now, it's messing people up sitting in the pews today, Pastor Trent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just want to read Psalm 115:3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Man has a hard time grasping that. Because we, in our knowledge, think we know better than God. That's the sinfulness of man. We think we know better than God. And so when God starts to say things or put things out there, hey, who gave this Bible? God gave this Bible. But what does man want to do? Wants to get in there and change it to what he thinks it means. And so I say this, no disrespect to anybody. I read books when it comes time. I read some things. I use dictionaries once in a while, but if it don't line up with my Bible, I'm not reading it.
Right.
Sometimes I want to figure out what a word means. So I'll open up an old Oxford dictionary, and I'll set that thing next to my King James Bible that is open, not closed. And I'll start going through that Bible, and I'll see if it lines up with that King James Bible. If it lines up with that King James Bible, I will use that definition. If it does not, I'm going to close that Bible up, I'm done. That dictionary up, I'm done. I won't even use it. I'm not kidding you. I'm that serious about it. I'm that serious about keeping this exactly where it needs to be. Right where God, who gave this to us? God gave it to us. So why am I going to change it? I don't need that type of knowledge. And so first I started by erasing everything every man's books and commentaries has taught you over the years. I'm not saying they're wrong, but get a fresh look through God's eyes and you'll be shocked at what happens, right? And so here it says, for time's sake, I'm not going to read all these verses, but I'm going to, in Jeremiah chapter 35, go to Jeremiah chapter 35, I want to show you something really quick here. Jeremiah chapter 35, I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read a few verses here. Jeremiah 35. Go home and read it. Go home and check it out. Hey, when a man of God is preaching, write down the stuff. If you should go home and check it, I might be lying. And if I'm not, then take it because it's out of the Word of God.
Amen.
Jeremiah 35, 6 through 19, but I'm going to read verses 5 and 6, okay? I'm going to read 5 and 6. Jeremiah 35, 5 and 6 says, and I set before the sons of the house of the Rehobites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But here's what they said. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall no drink no wine, neither you nor your sons, nor should you build a house, nor sow seed, or plant vineyards, or of any kind. But you, all your days, you shall dwell in tents, that you may live in the days of the lands of your strangers. Okay? And so guess what? Here's what their father said. Their father said, here's what I'm going to give you to do. I'm going to give you some instructions, and I want you to obey them. Here we go. We're going to obey them, right? They're going to do exactly what Dad said. Here's the catch, though. Go with me down to verse 13. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. The what came? The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Man is not speaking here. This is God now. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the man of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? Why won't they hearken to God's words? Why won't they listen to him? Because Daddy gave them some instructions, and now they won't even listen to God. You see, they're taking the commandments of man over the commandments of God.
Right.
And God is about to show you he's upset with that.
Yeah.
God is not happy with us taking the commandments of man over the commandments of God. Look what he says here in verse 14. And the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, said he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment, notwithstanding, not even paying attention that I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking. But what did it say? But ye will not hearken unto me. My friends, there are people in the churches today who will not hear God because some man has got up and taught something.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
They're not teaching. They're not getting into the word themselves, checking that out. Oh, because this guy told me this, I can't believe. No, listen, when the Bible tells you that, that's it. It's over with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
Amen.
Go check it. If you're sitting here taking my word for it, don't do it. I'm a man.
That's right.
Then you got that cross reference in Mark chapter 7. You don't have to turn there. I'll go there real quick. Mark chapter 7. And I was going to read something to you. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. You go there and check that out. And so here I'm going to read verses 6 through 13, and it says this, Mark chapter 7, 6 through 13. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. And it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. I've told you something. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's instructed us to something, but we put it away for the commandments of man. And here's what he goes on. It says in verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold to the tradition of men, as of the washing of pots and the cups, and many other such things do you do. And as he said to them, fool, will you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own traditions? Hey, I'm just telling you, there's a warning in your Bible that tells you to go and check what the man is saying. And because a man has said something to you, and you don't go there and check it, and you agree with man, God's going to get angry at you for it. He's going to be upset because he may instruct you some way different, but you won't listen because somebody taught you that. That's what it's saying.
It happens.
That's the Old and New Testament, by the way. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To study the Bible, we must do as God says. And that is to remove man and his doctrine out of our lives.
Yeah.
That's what we've got to do. Got to straighten that mess out. There are men who teach wonderfully, and I love them, and I listen to them, and they have wisdom. But if they ever say anything that goes against that King James Bible, I'm not going to listen to them.
Amen.
I'm going to throw that out. Oh, I'm serious. You ask my wife how serious I am. Listen, I was as serious as a heart attack out there living for the devil in the world. I'm as serious as a heart attack living for God and his Bible.
Amen.
Yeah, that's me. I'm nutty like that. I'm just crazy. Hey, I'm a different kind of crazy now. I'm a saved crazy. Okay? I'm a saved, born-again, crazy person who just happens to take this King James Bible exactly for what it says.
Amen.
And I mean exactly what it says. In context. Many Christians, including Baptists, change the things that are in the Bible. Let me give you an example. If you go to Exodus 27. I want to give some good examples here. Exodus 27. And I'm going to show you some good ones here. And I hope the Lord will show you. And put your help. It, maybe if you're making the mistake, maybe this is a mistake you're making, and maybe God will help you see it. Okay. And so this had to come to me through many, many. It took me a year to do the whole tabernacle of studying. I mean, every day. It took me a year to do that whole thing, to go through every bit of it, piece by piece, find out where it came from, and so on and so forth. It took me a whole year to do it. Okay. Was it worth it? It took me, I think, 8 months to do the first five chapters of Leviticus. Was it worth it? Can't touch it with a 10-foot pole. There ain't a drug out there. There ain't nothing out there that can satisfy me like the Word of God that satisfies me when I get ready to study that. That's reality. I'm hooked on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm hooked on it. I'm okay with that. Exodus 27:1 says, and thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood. 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be cubits. So we see here that God is asking for what? Shittim wood. Guess what everybody's saying that God is asking for? Acacia wood. How many times have you heard a preacher get up there and say, hey, you know, God asked for acacia wood here?
No.
No, God did not. He asked for shittim wood.
No.
And there's a difference.
Amen.
What's the difference? How about this? That burning bush was made out of shittim wood. Why? Because shittim doesn't burn. Shittim wood, he's about to make an altar here. Why would he? You know what acacia wood is? That particle board, that furniture you buy from Walmart. That's acacia wood. You think God would call for something like that? He's about to make an altar to burn sacrifices on. What do you think he's going to use? A wood that's the same consistency as water that won't burn? You think he might use that? Then why do people change it to acacia wood? Acacia wood didn't even exist back then. The shittim wood comes from the eastern side of that side of Canaan, over near on the side of the hills of Jerusalem. Acacia didn't even exist back then. It's particle board. It's dust. It would have burned up. But you hear men get up there and you preach, and they change that word and say they're a King James Bible believer. Then why are you changing the word? You think it makes a difference? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When God told them to go and get this stuff, did they know they were going to be in the wilderness for 40 years? No, they did not. So then why would God make them use something that's weak and wouldn't make it for 40 years? Why would he make them go get a cave wood that's going to fall apart the first time they tear it down and put it back together again? They told them to use shittim wood because it don't burn and it's heavy and consistent. Matter of fact, the Jews still make cabinets and counters out of it today. How about that? So let me say this. See, we know more than God. We'll go build one out of a cave wood. And now God's going to make us walk through a hot desert for 40 years, tearing it up, putting it back down, plus doing burnt sacrifices on it. Is it going to make it? But if he does it with shittim wood like he's supposed to, if he does exactly what God asked him to do and not change these things, but it gets better. It gets worse than that. And so we see here, Baptist commentaries and perverted Bibles, they change it all to Acacia. Go read the commentaries. Go read the NIV in this part. It's not going to have shittim wood in there. It's going to have acacia. And then you'll have a preacher go out there and you'll have them teaching about acacia wood, and God asked for shittim wood. And you know what you're doing? You're going out there living an NIV doctrine with a King James Bible in your hand, and that's what you're teaching them.
If anyone needs an NIV, just ask that man in the back who gets you his.
Okay? I'm just saying, man. That's reality. This is not what God asked for. There are two different types of wood.
Amen.
Remember, at this point, God knew Israel would be in the wilderness for 40 years. He knew they were going to be there. He knew they were going to be rebels. Does it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God?
Yeah.
He already knows it all.
Right.
So why would he have them take something that weak that ain't going to make it? Here's another one that gets under my skin. Okay? Another one here is another example is brass and bronze.
Yeah.
Anybody want to make a wager today that you will never, ever find the word bronze in your Bible?
Right. Amen. Yeah, there is.
Bronze didn't even exist back then. They didn't even find it then. This people, you know why people's excuse to change it? God asked for brass. They said brass can't handle the heat. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Because back in Exodus, when he asked them to build the tabernacle, brass was pure as pure can be, and it could withstand any heat, no matter how hot it got.
Amen.
Bronze today could not handle the heat of that altar. Bronze didn't get discovered until almost 1,500 years after brass was already being used in a whole different part of the country. Well, people say, well, brass today can't hold the heat. You're exactly right. It can't hold the heat. You know why? Because man has gotten involved and learned how to put different mixtures in there to make more brass and save money and make money and make it extend a lot longer. Therefore, it will not hold the heat that it used to because man has gotten involved in it. Man has thinned it out. Man has put material in it that should not be there. When God asked for it, it was pure brass.
Amen.
And you'll hear them every single time say bronze, the bronze serpent, the bronze. Man, don't you know your Bible? Mm-hmm. Doesn't say anything about bronze. Brass. God asked for brass because he knew with that shittim wood and that brass over that altar, it can handle any amount of flames. Guess what? Mm-hmm. You think it did? They moved that same altar for 40 years. I'll give you another one that gets under my skin. Turn to John 8:32. John 8:32. Before you look at it, don't look at it yet, but just go to China. I'm going to ask somebody to answer this for me, okay? I'm a jerk. I want you to finish this for me. Don't look at it. Don't look at it. And I want you to answer this. Here's what the Bible verse says. You ready? I want somebody to just yell it out. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will... Somebody say, I heard the S. Huh? Somebody say it. I heard somebody say, it will set you free. Look at John 8:32 in your King James Bible and tell me what that says. It'll make you free. Totally two different words with two different meanings. They're even spelled differently. Okay? Let me tell you the difference. When I was in prisons, jails, mental hospitals, rehabs, and so on and so forth, they always set me free to do the same things I always wanted to do. These glasses, I can set them anywhere I want because they're already in existence. But to make something means it does not come into existence until that very moment it's made. Jesus Christ promised me something different than the world could ever offer me. They always offered to set me free. But Jesus Christ said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Amen. That means he's going to give me something at that very moment that I've never had in my entire life. And that's salvation, repentance, and freedom. Why? Because I knew the truth. The truth was how I see myself in God's eyes as a dirty, rotten rebel against the holy God. And he said, I'll make you free. Guess what he did? He's made me free. He didn't set me free like the world did. He made me free. He gave me something that I never had in my entire life.
Amen.
But yet we have men up there preaching on setting people free and wondering why people aren't getting saved. Because you're preaching the NIV doctrine. That's reality. Those words make a difference.
Yes, yes.
They're in there written for that reason, for a purpose.
Amen.
We don't believe in NIVs. We don't believe in the ESVs. Then why are we preaching them?
Right.
I got another one. And gets on my nerves. It gets on my nerves, right? Hey, we're King James Bible believers. Then let's do it. Let's do it right.
Right.
I take it like that. I just me. Maybe it's just me, but that's, you know what?
I like it.
God says this in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 14:40, that he does all things in decency and order.
Right. Yeah.
So why wouldn't he keep that with... Psalm 139 says that his word is above his own name.
Right, amen. Yeah.
If he exalts his word above his own name, why wouldn't we?
That's right. Right.
That means leaving it exactly where it is.
Yeah.
You guys are all gonna, you've heard this one. And just by the way, this is what man's done to salvation. They've always tried sticking their nose in a salvation that didn't belong to them. Right. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It's his salvation to give to us. It's his free gift that he gives to us. But we want to stick our nose in there. Hey, he tells us to go out there and do what? Water and plant the water. And he'll give the increase. Go out there and preach that word to him. God will take care of the rest.
That's right.
The whole Bible, God has been trying to remove man out of his plans and his ways by interfering. We interfere in everything. It's been happening since the beginning of time. But man keeps trying to force them back. Many would say that I never correct the God's word, but they do it through the teachings and books and commentaries. They read a King James Bible, but have NIV doctrine. Another example of this would be that the King James Bible, quick example is that you hear all the time, people say, the holiest of holies. Who's ever heard that? The holiest of holies.
Yeah.
That is not in your King James Bible.
Right.
That is not a King James Bible doctrine.
Right.
Holiest of holies is NIV doctrine. What does God call it? The holy place and the most holy place. Continuously, people are out there saying, well, you know, God, you can't go into the holiest of holies. I'm like, man, how long have you been saved? 40, 50 years? And you still can't quote your King James Bible correctly? I don't say that to the man of God, but I feel like thinking that. Okay? I feel like thinking that because to take the time to study the Bible is one of the most important things we could ever do in our entire life on this planet. Brittany and Trent, I'm just going to use you guys as an example. I know you well enough. You know, when you guys met each other, you wanted to know everything about her. She wanted to know everything about you. That's what it's about, right? Courting and all, like getting to know each other.
Start seeing phone number.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Getting to know. I want to know her color. I want to know what she likes, what she don't like, right? All that stuff.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. I've heard people look at me and say, you don't need the Old Testament anymore. I tell them this. You're right. For salvation, here's what you need. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to who? The law is a schoolmaster. You know what the schoolmaster is? The schoolmaster is somebody who brings a person from one place to the next. So that means in order for a person to come under Holy Ghost conviction of what they are in God's eyes, the law has to bring them to that place where they see, repent, and then their faith goes into Jesus Christ. That's what it says. Paul talks about that schoolmaster being the law to bring somebody unto Jesus Christ. Number two, the reason why I believe we still need the Old Testament is you want to get to know everything about her. Well, if you're a saved, born-again child of God, why wouldn't you want to know everything about Jesus Christ? He's in the Old Testament,
Amen.
Too.
Yeah. Amen.
So why wouldn't you want to get to know him that way?
Yeah.
That's right.
We'll want to get to know a person that way, but when it comes to Jesus Christ, now we don't need the Old Testament, and we don't need to. No, you need to know Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, too.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm a believer in that.
Right.
Amen.
I want to know everything about my wife. I mean everything, so why wouldn't I want to know that about the God, the one who saved me?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
People got it twisted today. It's because they're changing the Bibles. Even those who are carrying King James Bibles are changing. I think I was talking to him or you, and I said, they call themselves King James believers, but in other words, they're just King James readers.
That's it.
They have no clue about being a King James Bible believer. Because if you're a King James Bible believer, it'll make you a King James Bible liver.
Yeah.
You'll live it, you'll believe it, you'll breathe it, you'll love it.
Amen.
Okay? John 1:14 says that what? That the Word of God was made flesh and dwell among us. Here it is. Here it is. Jesus Christ in words. That's what it says.
Yeah.
And seeing that we didn't know how to run our lives, we need to have somebody who does know how to run our life. His name is Jesus Christ. And so therefore, when a word is said in your King James Bible and you don't understand it, don't go try to find a worldly meaning for it. Stay in your Bible and find it out. Yeah. Get to every single place it's mentioned in your Bible. Go look at it.
That's right.
It will give it to you. I promise you, with all that I stand here today, I've been studying this Bible, and I mean seriously studying this Bible for 8 years.
Amen.
And I've never had God fail me in teaching me what he wants me to know in this Bible.
Right.
You ever get that question and go, I wonder, that's God trying to challenge you and to go search that out. Let God challenge you in searching that out.
That's
go
right.
in there. And well, I don't know what that means. Listen, if you're going to use books from other people's stuff, here's what I beg you to do. Please just have your Bible open to have your Bible open with it.
Yeah.
And when they say something, check it.
That's right.
What's it going to hurt? Because I'm going to tell you now, you're going to find things in some of the books that don't line up with your Bible, you have a choice to make. You got a choice to make, right? What choice? Am I going to listen to what this Bible say, or am I going to listen to what this man say? You have a choice to make. Are you really a King James Bible believer? That's really what it comes down to, okay? I'm going to take what the Bible says over anything man ever tells me. My pastor has been up there for, how long has he been the pastor in? 12 years? 12 years, and he always tells us this. Oh, man, I can't remember how it says now. Something didn't verify. Anyway, in other words, what he's telling you is this. When somebody's getting up here teaching, go back and look up what they're teaching.
That's right.
Don't just take it for their word.
That's right.
Even if a person, like myself, which I have done many times, makes a mistake, mm-hmm. you can come and say, hey, brother, you know what? And I can say, you know, you're right. Thank you for... Let me just say this. If you ever lose your teachable spirit, you'll never be anything to God. You got to have a teachable spirit.
That's right.
We don't get saved and all of a sudden it's done and over. We're still going to be taught things, okay? We're still in the flesh. We're still on this earth. And so, verify what is being said. Verify what is being taught, what is being preached. It'll be for your good. It might be for your exhortation. That God might show you something different, or he might show you something else that could go along with that. I've had people call me up who, man, I'm just telling you, they went back and they read their Bible, and now I've been able to add that into my studies.
Sure.
Isn't that what it is? Iron sharpens iron? Talking about the candles and lamps and how they burned and all that kind of stuff. I had a guy go out and do a study on all that, and he brought it back to me. I just thought, wow, that's pretty fascinating to get that. Okay, and so that's something else that I've used in one of my sermons. Right, that's what it's all about.
Yep. You're
exhorting and teaching and showing one another. But be careful, because there's a lot of good. And I mean good brethren out there, and they may not know better, or Bible college has really done something to them. I'm not kidding, he knows. It's a mess out there, guys. So I sat in Bible college. I didn't go to it. I did everything online. But I sat there, and I just could not believe the things that they were supposed to be King James only. They're not. Most of them aren't, because they get funds for putting all the other ones in there. They want the other NIVers and all them to come to their college as well. So that's pretty much out the door. And you know what? Most of the guys said, they would say this. They would teach a class, and they would say, they would use NIVs or ESVs, and they say, but now, hang on. I want to make a very important point, so therefore I'm going to turn to the King James Bible. Why didn't you just stay with the King James? It's all very important. The other ones aren't going to tell you the same thing, man. What do you mean you have to make a series of... Well, how much more important, how much more serious can you get to have to change from Bible to Bible?
Right.
Because let me just say this, my friends. If I needed anything else besides a King James Bible to get saved, I'm dumb enough that I would never have gotten saved. That's simple.
Right, yeah. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's simple.
Mm-hmm.
You got a convict who's been burned out and everything else, and you mean to tell me I got to go learn all this? Listen, man, I just needed a King James Bible, believe it on Jesus Christ, come to that place of repentance, and got saved. That's it. Plain and simple. Done and over with.
Yeah.
What made it hard for my wife is she got a lot of Christian teaching in her life. It hurt her. She couldn't get past everything that man had taught her. She could not focus on what God was trying to tell her in that Bible, because everything that rang in her ear was somebody that something taught her. And she couldn't shake it. I said, Amy, start shaking that off and just start looking what the Bible's telling you. You can't go wrong believing that Bible. Am I wrong by saying you can't go wrong by believing that Bible, guys? You got to shake some stuff off sometimes and just look at that Bible and realize, okay, I learned wrong. It wasn't right what I learned. But people won't shake it off. They have a hard time shaking off the commandments of man.
That's right.
Now, not all man has bad stuff to say. One of my favorite books in the world, this, I don't know how this is settled with everybody, is a Peter Ruckman book, The Manuscript Evidence.
Right.
Man, I love that book. I love that book. I read some of his other books that I may not agree with everything in there, but I know how to take the bone. I'll take the meat and spit out the bone. But you know what? You gotta have your Bible open. And if you don't have your Bible open, to check everybody. You said you read some of Pastor John's books. Hope you had your Bible open doing that.
That's right.
Yeah. That's reality. Just because it's my pastor, if he gives me something, I'm not going to open my Bible?
Chew the meat, spit out the bones, and then I usually yell, hey guys, watch out, there's bones.
So, that was just some of the things that God has shown me. There's so much more. I could sit up here for hours.
Right.
Just telling you, you know, the things that people are getting into. And it's really hurting our churches, guys. And so I exhort you, please, you younger guys, man, out there preaching that word and stuff, keep it King James, even when you're straight preaching.
Amen. Right.
Okay,
right.
Watch your words, watch how you say it. I've had somebody sit in our church pew, my pastor's wife. I'll misquote something, as you'll. I say, sorry, Mr. Dan, I'll get that right. And I'll open my Bible. It's a joke, but you know, it's really kept me straight.
That's right.
It really has kept me quoting the Bible correctly. And all now I can't stand misquoting and stuff. And I really try hard not to.
That's right.
But it was just so I say that when you guys go out there street preaching and stuff, keep it, because other people are going to pick on that you're not preaching just the King James. They will hear an NIV doctrine and it will turn them off.
Yeah.
Okay? So just be careful with that. Watch your, you know, who you read and what you read, and just put it with the Bible.
Right.
You can never go wrong with the Bible. I guarantee you, as a man who knows, here's a man who knows, and you young guys are starting to find that out. The Bible's never going to leave you wrong, so
that's
I appreciate
right.
your time.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you.